How many of you mean that tonight? That you're never going back. Never going back to the man I used to be. I tell you, I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited about what God has done this weekend. This is our seventh service today here at Calvary Gospel Church with all of our outreaches, all of our preaching points. God is doing some great things. He's going to continue to do some great things. You can be seated. Since the beginning of the year, and I've mentioned this many, many times, we've been preaching on a series that I titled Show Me Your Glory. And in this series, we've talked about the glory of God, about God showing and releasing His glory to the into the church. We've kind of woven that into the supernatural. I don't believe, in fact, I strongly believe that if you're going to see and experience the glory of God, you're going to see and experience the supernatural. They both are together. You can't have one without the other. And in speaking of the supernatural, I began to pray and I began to seek God and say, God, these two points, your glory and the supernatural, at some point in time when it's manifested in our services and in our lives, these two, we're coming to a crossroads in this. And this message tonight is a result of some questions that I personally had asked God about my own personal life. And God began to reveal to me and show me how we take and experience His glory and the supernatural every day in our lives. How many of you would love and desire to see the supernatural in your life every day? We see enough in the natural. We see enough things in the natural. If this is your first time ever to sit here in the services at Calvary Gospel Church, I trust you, I'm just a normal, everyday individual. I get up here, and sometimes when God starts moving, and sometimes normal becomes abnormal. That's when super becomes supernatural. How many of you are willing to seek after the supernatural in your life? How many of you desire? Some of you don't really seem to matter, doesn't care to you. Then you know what? You're never going to experience it. You're never going to experience it. If you can't, I don't want to be blunt, don't want to be rude. If you can't put your hand up and say, I want to experience the supernatural of God, you're never going to get it. Never going to experience it. I want to take and get into this message tonight. You know my love for history. And as the Roman Empire began its expansion into Western Europe, the Roman generals found themselves fighting a very different type of a war. They were used to the wide open spaces where their legions would go in a mighty swath and they would take out vast enemy empires in one sweeping motion. They were used to the wide open spaces of the Middle East, the wide open spaces of the desert lands where that they could take and maneuver their mighty armies from point A to point B. But as the banners flutter in the breeze, the legionnaires frantically pour out jars of oil and they wrap oil-soaked rags around arrow tips and they set fire to wicker balls that are poised in their cantaloupes. I'm hungry again. Poised in their cantaloupes. There we go. Poised in their catapults. We'll get that out. On the other side, hidden in the deep thickets of the forest, are hordes of Germanic warriors who vastly outnumber the forces of the empire. Their enemies are fearsome, gigantic men, faces painted in vivid colors, and they beat on their huge shields with their battle axes and their massive swords. And the thunderous sound of their pounding cascades out of the dark forest around the Roman battle lines. It is as if the devil himself has unleashed the hounds of hell upon them. The fear on their faces of the legionnaires is as they experience this sounds around. The general rides up and down the lines, and he calmly cries out to his legionnaires. He says, "Steady, boys, steady. Hold your fire, hold your fire." Then at the right time, he raises up his sword and he shouts, "Unleash hell." The early morning skies are lit up with giant fireballs and fiery missiles launched from the Roman catapults, followed by a hailstone of flaming arrows. The forests explode into a blazing inferno, causing the barbarian battle lines to dissolve into chaos. And as the legions of Roman soldiers, highly trained, marched into the charred forest, it's as if the battle has already been won. We must understand in warfare, battles are not won so much by combat on the ground as the artillery fire that rains down from the heavens above. As battle and war progressed in October of 1944, we find our Allied forces tightening a noose around the retreating German armies. It is now the German armies have crossed from Belgium into Germany, and they have surrounded the city of Aachen. Taking that city was a key to cutting the German Siegfried line in which they were supplying their troops. It would also deliver a demoralizing blow because Aachen was a hallowed ground to the Nazis. It was the birthplace and the coronation site of Charlemagne, the first emperor of the Holy Roman Empire. And Generals Charles Carlet broadcast this ultimatum to the citizens of Aachen. He says, "Citizens of Aachen, time is running out. Unless you surrender, we will unleash a firestorm that will level your beloved city." But Adolf Hitler, he ordered his soldiers and the citizens to fight to the death rather than surrender the city. Wave after wave of 360 Allied aircraft dropped some 170 tons of bombs, while another 10,000 artillery shells exploded, becoming one of the most terrifying bombardments the world has ever seen. For the first time in history, the Allied planes dropped a new horrific fire that fell from the skies, and we now call that napalm. The American infantry moved into Aachen after this city of 250,000 Germans had been completely leveled. Such is the power of the fire from heaven when it is unleashed upon the enemy. I'm reminded of a story that I read of the Iraqi soldiers in the first Gulf War as they felt this same tremor from the heavens. As more than 1 million of them, the Republican Guard, hunkered down in their fortified positions in Kuwait. Some of you may remember reading and seeing some of this on the news. The U.S. flew a record 109,000 sorties, dropping more than 250,000 bombs. Cruise missiles zeroed in from ships miles away at sea, and hundreds and thousands of the Iraqis were killed and maimed by this inferno from the skies. It was one of the first times since the Vietnam War that our B-52 bombers and such, they had dropped what's called a Mark V propane bomb weighing 31,000 pounds. It explodes above the earth and the atmosphere. If you know anything about propane, it's very, very explosive, almost like a nuclear explosion. And it would literally take from the concussion, suck the lungs right out of the enemy soldiers from the concussion. It was as if hell had been unleashed upon us. Tonight, I would like to take and preach to you on the subject, unleashed. Unleashed. How many of you desire to be unleashed in your spirit tonight? The Satan, the enemy of our souls, has unleashed upon the church in these last days an inferno of sin and degradation that the world has not yet seen. But I believe also in these last days that the power of God will be unleashed with a ferocity that we have yet to experience. As I look around, so often I see and I hear Christians that are struggling on the road of life. And the more you look around in this, what was once a great, powerful Christian nation It's littered with defeated Christians. Christians who have never discovered how to stand strong in this sin-filled, evil world in which we live in. So many Christians today, they depend upon their own moral strength, their own ethical wisdom, their own high ideals and personal commitment to justice and righteousness. They hunger for more of God, but they're starving in their pews. I don't have anything against feeding the homeless. I don't have anything against helping the poor and the needy. But you see, feeding the homeless is all you're doing is giving them a meal. Anybody can feed the homeless. But we feed the homeless and we call that's our ministry. And it does not go any farther than that. And God is saying, I have more. And they hunger and they're starving for more of God. They react in response to sin that's so prevalent in today's society, but total victory eludes them. Their pastors don't understand. Churches don't understand. We read in the news almost daily of pastors' struggles and churches' struggles with sin. They deny the power that rids and washes away and cleanses the sin from our lives. They have a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. You see, folks, whether we want to admit it or not, we are in a war. If you're sitting in the pew tonight, which you are sitting in a pew tonight, you are in a battle. There's a war being fought for your soul. I don't care if you say I don't believe it, I don't agree with it. It doesn't matter. There is a war being fought for your soul. And God is desiring to unleash His supernatural power and unleash His glory upon you, upon this church, and upon this city. But one of the greatest challenges I believe that God has with the church today is that of children, His church, not living up to the power and the authority that we really have. We're not living where God wishes us to live. We desire to experience His glory. We desire to experience the supernatural. And we keep asking ourselves, where is this? Where is this? But we must understand that Jesus has given us this power. He has given it to each and every one of us. If you are born again, if you have been baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you have the power and the authority within you. We have been given His authority. You have it. But in large, so many of us, we don't use it. You see, understand one thing, salvation, when you are saved, when you repent of your sins, you are baptized in the name of Jesus and filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. Salvation is where we enter into this war. It is not the end of this war. You might not think you have the power. You might not think tonight that you have the authority. But the Bible says that greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. We quote this scripture over and over and over and over so many times. We get tired of quoting it. We quote it, but we don't believe it. Hear me now, church. This is our problem. This is where it lies. You think, we think that we're too weak to be a force for God's kingdom. We're too weak to lay hands on the sick so they can recover. But understand, God chooses the weak to shame the strong. You may say tonight, Pastor, I'm not smart enough, that your vision is too narrow, but God chooses the foolish to confound the wise. We have everything we need, church. You think you're just this one little person that you can't have much of an impact on your school or on your job, but God chooses what is small in the world to bring down the powers that be. You think your faith is too small, smaller than a little tiny mustard seed, then that's all right, because with that little tiny bit of faith, with that little tiny mustard seed that's not much bigger than the head of a pin, Jesus says, go move that mountain. Do you understand? understand this tonight, church. My Bible tells me what you and I, that we shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. The power to move mountains. The power to heal the sick. The power to raise the dead. The power to tread upon serpents and scorpions. The power to deal with those everyday issues in life that we deal with. I give you power. I give you authority. The true power. Power we can't live without and should not live without. Power that will someday take us out of this world. Power that is a God-given power. The power of prayer brings about the power of healings. The power of miracles. The power of salvation. The power of unity. The power of preaching. The power of forgiveness. The power of compassion. The power of worship. And the power of evangelism. But most important of all, he gives us the power of the word. The power of the word of God. So what are we doing with that power? No question, tonight, if you're a born again Christian, you have it. But I must ask you, what are you doing with it? Such power, the power of God, it's a terrible thing to waste. We need to understand that God desires to unleash the power that is within us. We need to release that power. We talk about the supernatural. And God is saying, church, you are the supernatural. I gave it to you. Sometimes I think we feel that God is going to come in here in a big white horse and he's just going to start waving around this sword and all kinds of people are going to be slain in the spirit and healed and all of this. We have all of this in our minds that God comes in an invisible force, which he is and he does and he can. But he's saying, church, understand one thing. I gave you power. I gave it to you. It is your power. It comes from me under my authority. Reading from Acts 3, 1 through 8, we read this story. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, and a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried and laid there every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful. And he begged for alms to everyone that entered into the temple, and who, seeing Peter and John go about into the temple, asking alms or money. And Peter fastened his eyes upon him with John and said, look on us. Now, can I put this in modern day church? I want to be as open tonight as I can. Modern day church, we see the lame man sitting at the gate. We don't have any money. We don't have anything for him. So we choose a different gate. We do. Oh, we feel that if I give him $20, that'll feed him for 3 or 4 days. If somebody would take him to McDonald's, he can eat off the value menu and he can eat all week. But you see, what did the disciples do? Look at this statement. This is something that God has been dealing with me about. He says, look on us. It's not look away from us. We're trying to hide it. Look on us. You need a healing. You're lame. You can't walk. I'm your answer. That's what they're saying. Look on us. We're broke. Got no money. Can't help you with that. But I got something that you need that is far greater than money. And what did they reply? They said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the power of the name of the supernatural God and all of his glory, I command you to rise up and walk. And to show their level of faith, they took him by the right hand and lifted him up. God, I desire that faith. I desire that. I'm seeking after that. I'm reaching after that. I'm saying, God, unleash it within.
within me. Unleash it within this church.
Notice Peter didn't pray for the man. He didn't say, you know what, John, we got a problem here. What would Jesus do? What would he do? Let's go back into the wilderness and let's pray and let's fast for 40 days and then let's come back. No, they just came out of a prayer meeting. Actually, they were on their way to a prayer meeting. They had that much Holy Ghost in them, Brother Thomas. It hadn't run out. They hadn't give in over the night. They didn't pray for the man. He didn't ask God to heal him. He said, such as I have, give I thee. He unleashed upon him a power of healing. Do you understand what I just said? He unleashed upon him the power of healing. This didn't mean that Peter was the source of the healing. Peter says in Acts 3:12, and when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why are you so baffled at this? Do you not understand we're disciples of Jesus Christ? We went around and healed. Why is this so baffling to you? As though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk. You see, it was the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. It was the power of the Almighty God that healed this man. But that power was under Peter's authority. Peter believed that Jesus Christ had done his part and had placed that power and authority within him. And now it was Peter's responsibility to unleash that power. And that's just exactly what he did. Listen, Peter's frustration had been building for a long time. And some of you here under the sound of my voice, your frustrations have been building for a long time. You have been coming to church your entire life. You have been seeking things after God. You have been reaching out to God. And this has been building and building. And you've had your Pentecost. And you've spoken in tongues. And you're all excited at where you're going in the kingdom of God. But you desire to be used in a supernatural way. And you desire to be unleashed, and God is saying, I want you to unleash what I have placed within you, church. It's not that hard. It's not brain science. Unleash it. I gave it to you. When we look at Jesus in Luke 9, 1 and 2, he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all devils and to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. In Matthew, it says that Jesus says, and go ye, and as ye go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He tells them to heal the sick. He says, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Jesus is telling us, using our authority, to go out into the highways, go out into the byways, go out into the streets, go over to the neighbor's house. I just prayed this past week on Facebook for a man out in North Carolina whose wife was just diagnosed with cervical cancer. I've never met a man in his life, and our conversation started out talking about trains. And in the middle of all of this, he just plops this out. And I said, I'm going to pray and our church is going to pray. God, I don't know the man. I may never meet him in my life. I may never meet his wife. But I believe in the power of the Holy Ghost. I believe that I have a God that can transcend space and time. After all, doesn't it say that these signs shall follow them that believe? Do we believe that? Do we believe it? Do we really believe it? Do we really believe it, church? We need to believe it. Because it says, these signs shall follow them that believe. But you see, somewhere over time, the church has settled. I've been into this. I'm 52 years old. I don't know anything else other than this church and Pentecost. My father's been my only pastor I've ever had in my whole entire life. But I believe that over the years, maybe over the centuries, generations, however long, that we as a body, that we feel that we've settled into this mode. And that as a that this mode as a body that we're no longer equipped to experience and to deal with all of these different things. We have specialties now in the body of Christ. Hear me now. We have specialties. Just like I go to the doctor, and if I got a problem with my feet, I go to a foot doctor. If I got a problem with my teeth, I go to a dentist. If my eyeballs are giving me trouble, I go to my eye doctor, my optometrist. We have heart doctors, kidney doctors, liver doctors, pancreas, gallbladder, all these different kinds of doctors, all part of the medical field. And the church has got into that mentality that if we need people filled with the power of the Holy Ghost, we got to get a Holy Ghost doctor in here to preach to us. We feel that if we need healings, we got to get a healing preacher in here to preach to us. If we need people delivered from demonic spirits, we got to get somebody in here that knows how to chase out devils. But my word says to the church, behold, I give you power. I give it to you. I gave it to you, church. I gave it to you. It's ours. It's ours. We don't have to call in some specialty. God said, church, I've equipped you to deal with everything you're going to have to deal with where I plant you. We want healings. Listen, that doesn't mean that we never call in a brother and sister Oliver again and have a Holy Ghost crusade. I'm not talking about that. But we can't just wait until October and save all of this up. We got to take care of it ourselves. It's got to be something that the body does in-house. He's equipped us with this. But see, the problem is there's some of us that will not allow ourselves to become unleashed in the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm reminded, imagine for a second you have blind Bartimaeus. He's a beggar, blind. Jesus is on his very last days of his ministry. His crucifixion is but a few weeks or so away, and his disciples have not yet come to the realization that he's about to be crucified, and they're traveling through Jericho one last time. And here you have old blind Bartimaeus over there, and he's yelling out. No doubt somehow in his spirit he feels that if I don't get to Jesus now, I may never get to him. And he starts to cry out. Imagine yourself for a minute. You have stage 4 terminal cancer. You're going to be dead. The doctor says, I give you 2 weeks at the most. And you come to a church service and you sit through a service and the pastor gets up or somebody gets up and preaches about healing. And you sit there the whole service when the pastor says, God wants to heal you tonight. I'm challenging myself tonight, church. Listen, if we're going to go to the next level, we're going to have to challenge ourselves. We're going to have to put ourselves in some positions where we have to depend on God. We can't talk our way or preach our way out of it. So here you sit. Here blind Bartimaeus sits and he begins to cry out, Jesus! Thy son of David, have mercy on me. And everybody says, shh, get out of the way, you blind beggar. Tonight you may have something going on in your life and you're desperate and you need something from a supernatural God. And you may be sitting there in your seat and you may be crying on the inside, Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me. And you can walk out of here and get nothing. But the more he cried out, he got the attention of Jesus, and he was healed that day. He unleashed whatever it was within him that says, if I don't get to Jesus Christ today, I will die a blind beggar. We need to have that inside us, that if I don't get from God tonight what I need, I may not make it one more day. Now we're going to just really get down to where the rubber meets the road in our conversation tonight. So here tonight we sit and we listen. And there are those among that feel that you have a whole lot more in you. And you feel that God is calling you to a new level. And that God is dealing with you in a very powerful way. Some of you, I want to challenge you tonight as you sit here. You might have come in through our CIP class and you may feel something here tonight that you've never felt before. I want to tell you something. I don't care how much you mess up. I don't care how bad your life is. I don't care how bad your future looks. God can take and turn everything around in a moment's time. I'm not trying to single anybody out, but understand something. When Jesus Christ walked upon the shores of Galilee and he picked 12 men to as his disciples, he didn't go looking around Wall Street and go to the professional section of town. He went down where all the ignorant and unlearned, hard-working, blue-collar men were hanging around and said, if I'm going to change this world, I got to have somebody that's going to be a hard worker. All of his 12 men, they weren't the brightest, but they had something in them that when they unleashed that was within them, they changed the focus. They changed the very presence. They changed the whole entire planet, changed as a result of what they unleashed from themselves. That was inside of them. I believe Peter on the day of Pentecost, as I said earlier, as he began to preach, there was something in his spirit that was coming out of him, and it began to flow out of him. I don't think he sat down and said, I need to get some notes here. I've never preached before. And he began to go through some scrolls, and he began to look through some things. I believe when the Holy Ghost came on him, what was trapped within him, what was trying to get out, what he struggled with for so many years following Jesus began to flow out of him like water and begin to flow out. And as it began to flow out, the power of God began to flow in, and he became a conduit for the Holy Ghost. You may say, boy, you're nuts getting up, preacher. Listen, this world is in trouble. Politicians aren't going to bail it out. No government program's going to bail it out. The only thing, the only salvation you have is the power of Jesus Christ. God is desiring to unleash us in the spirit. He's desiring to unleash us in the supernatural. We are at a crossroad. We've been talking about the glory. We've been phased that in to the supernatural. Now it is where the rubber meets the road. It is where our flesh and our spirit begins to dig in. And we begin to look and say, but you don't understand, Pastor. I don't feel comfortable. You know, when somebody runs the aisle, I don't feel comfortable running the aisle. I feel in my spirit that I need to run the aisle, but I don't feel comfortable doing that. God spoke to me at the beginning of the service and said, I should pray with this person, but you know, I'm not one of the ministers. I'm not one of the elders. Maybe I shouldn't pray for them. And we let the opportunity pass because God is trying to get something out of us. And our flesh is afraid.
We're afraid of what Pastor Thomas may think, or what Pastor Demas may think, or what Pastor Roy may think, or what the person next to us may think. What do you think you are, Cecily Grant? Who do you think you are, dancing around in the front and going over there and praying for somebody that's sick and God heals them? Who does she think she is? That's what goes in our minds. That's what we're thinking. What are people going to think of me? I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't care anymore. I don't care what you think. Because what is trying, what I'm trying to unleash within me is greater than any kind of a feeling, or greater than any kind of a thought that you could have. About, man, we got a crazy goofball pastor. What do we vote this guy in for? He's goofy. I don't care. I don't. I got to let it out. I'm trying. I'm struggling. I remember not too many weeks ago, I was sitting right over here, and a sister came up to this altar that I knew had some health issues. I knew she was struggling because she had shared it earlier, said, pray for me, and the prognosis doesn't look good. And I said, right there in that chair, well, during worship service, when God said, go pray for her and I'll heal her. And I said, what are you thinking? Go pray for her. I said, God, show me a sign, show me a sign, show me something, show me something. And I'm arguing with God, and he says, I don't need to show you a sign. I just told you, get up and go pray for her. I didn't. She walked away. Why? Because I got a bishop sitting right here. I'm thinking, well, God, he's a bishop. I got Pastor Thomas sitting over here. What's he going to think? She's the only one down here. I'm going to go down there and I'm going to walk down and make this big scene. People are going to think this, going to think that. God, forgive me. There's something inside of us. There's something inside of us. There's something inside of us that God says, unleash it! Let it go! And we're afraid. We're afraid of what somebody sitting next to us is going to think. I don't know if I'm getting through here tonight. I don't know. But we're all sitting here and we let others around us determine what level we're going to allow God to unleash within us. I don't want anybody to determine what level God wants to use Roy Grant in the spirit, but God. The disciples, I love the way they were. They were bold in the Holy Ghost. You know, Rich, they didn't pray for sustenance. They said, God, you know, we sold everything we had. We gave it to the church. We got nothing. Sure would be nice to have some new shoes. Lord, you know, we're hungry. We haven't eaten. Food's a little scarce. And they go through all of these things. They didn't pray for any of that. They got thrown into prison. They didn't even pray to get out of prison. They said, God, grant us boldness. Give me boldness, God. Boldness. I can interpret that real easy. They're saying, God, unleash me. I'm not saying go up to people and just splat them on the forehead and knock them backwards to where you got to pray for their back after you get done praying for their migraine. It's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about being sensitive in the spirit that when God whispers to you in the middle of a worship service, you get up and you do what he asked you to do. That's what I'm talking about. When you're sitting at work, and your coworker is weeping on the phone because she just found out that her husband's walking out on her, to be sensitive, to go in and say, listen, I couldn't help but overhear. I can't imagine what you're going through. Can I pray with you? I might get fired. I don't care anymore. I don't care. I don't care. Throw me out of the mall. They won't throw me out of the train store because I spend too much money in there. You see, God is saying to his people, he says, tell me what you want. Tell me. He says, prove me. He's not saying that we are mightier and more powerful than him and we can order him around. He's referencing to us things that he's already done. He overcame death, hell, and the grave. He took stripes upon his back for our healing. And to every one of us, he gives a measure of faith. We just had a tongues and interpretation. I shared this in our pastor's Bible study and our board meeting a couple Wednesday nights ago. And God spoke and said, you have much faith. You have much faith. I felt good about that. We're going somewhere. And they have so little. Making reference to the situation. Build their faith. Build their faith. And I, that's God saying, you know what? That's me. I, God. Hello? Yeah. I said, let there be light. And there was light. I spoke the planets into existence. I didn't have to carve anything out. The only thing I made with my hands is you. Everything else, I spoke it into existence. That's the God that says, I will take care of the rest. And yet we walk out of there and sometimes we think, okay, God, what does that mean? What does it mean you're going to take care of the rest? And we try to get all philosophical and theological on God. God says, you know what? Just shut up when I say I'll take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. I might have broke protocol with some of you parents. I said, shut up. I don't have any kids at home anymore. Sometimes I tell myself to shut up. So if I did offend some of you parents, I'm sorry. But you see, God wants us to take our authority. Listen, this isn't anything that's difficult, but we make it so difficult. We really make it difficult on ourselves. When God says, I give you the power and authority. You see, it's like electricity. We look at We Energies. That's where we get our energy from. We Energy, they generate all of this power and they deliver it to the house. You see, it's not your power until you buy it. It's not your power. But understand one thing. It's under your control. I can walk over there right now and I can flip that light switch and the lights will go out. I don't produce the power, but I control the power. I can go into the back where we have all of our big breakers and I can pull one big old huge lever and everything in a building will go black. I don't produce it, but I control it. And God says, church, it's really that simple. I produce the power. You control it. You control it. Some of you sitting here right now are saying, but I'm afraid of it. I'm fearful. You're not fearful of the power. You're fearful of the person next to you and their reaction to the power as it flows through you. That's what we're afraid of. It's what holds us back. Everybody just look around right now. All of these people you see right here are the ones that we're all afraid of. Right? To show you, to demonstrate that, I could ask you right now to stand your feet and jump as high as you could in the air, and some of you would jump as high as you could in the air, and some of you would stay right where you're sitting. Why? Because you're afraid. You're thinking, what's the point in that? Now, if I said, the Lord spoke to me and says the first person to stand to their feet and jump high in the air, he's going to take and he's going to heal them.
You couldn't get off your... You say, that's really silly. That's really silly. You really think God works that way? I don't know. Let's talk about the Pool of Bethesda. And once a year, the waters were troubled. What's with that? Seriously. That'd be like saying, we got a swimming pool in here, and once a year, there's white caps on it. And if you can jump in that pool when there's white caps on it, whatever infirmity you have, you're healed. People will line up all over the place. And God says, you know what? I don't have to work that way anymore. This is how I'd rather work now. We have an altar up here. The Bible says if you're sick in your body, call for the elders of the church. Come up here, get prayed for, and you're healed. And we think, well, I don't know. I'll wait for the white caps. I don't know. I'm not trying to be sarcastic. I'm just trying to be real. You see, he deposited this resurrection power into every believer. He's done his part. And now it's up to us to do ours. We put limitations on God. And because we put limitations on God, we stop the unleashing of the Holy Ghost that he desires to flow through us. You see, we all have a measure of faith. We all have a measure of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. You see, faith is daring the soul to go beyond what the eye can see. I have faith that everything that God has spoken he's going to do, that he's going to do it. I don't know how. I don't know when. But I know he's going to do it. You may say, what is it that God has for me tonight? What is it? You see, I believe that God created everything with potential. He created everything. Everything. Everything with potential. That includes you and me. You see, he placed the seed of each thing or creation, he created it within itself and planted within each person or each thing he created the ability, potential to be much more than it is at any one given moment. You see, everything in life has potential. The tree is in the seed. You understand that? The tree is in the seed, but then also the seed is in the tree. You take an oak, an acorn comes from the tree. So you take that seed and you plant a tree, and yet within that seed, there's a tree. And you see, potential is dormant ability. It's reserved power. It's untapped strength, unrealized success, hidden talents and abilities, and capped capability. You see, potential is all you can be, but not yet become. That's where we are tonight. How far can you reach, but have not yet reached? What can you accomplish that you have not yet accomplished? Potential is unexpected ability and latent power. 1 Corinthians 4:20 says, for the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Understand one thing, that potential is not what you have done, but what you are not yet able to do. You see, so many times we think that potential is what we've already done. You see, in other words, is what you've done, what you have done in your past is no longer your potential. You see where I'm going with this? God says, unleash me. I give you potential. I give you power. I give you authority. What you have done in your past is no longer your potential. You have room to grow. It said that unless you do something beyond what you have already done,
you will never grow or experience your full potential. Church, if we don't do anything beyond what we have already done, we will never grow to our fullest potential. Potential, hear me, demands that you never settle for what you have already accomplished. And this is where so many of us get stuck. We settle for what we've already accomplished. If our musicians can come, if you could stand to your feet. Potential is always present, waiting to be exposed. One of the greatest enemies of your potential is success. God wants to maximize. He wants to unleash the power and the potential that He has given to you. You may not be happy with where you are now. You are not yet where you could be or where you should be. I don't care what your situation is. I don't care what your life is going through right now. God has great potential. You have great potential in God. God is saying, church, just unleash me. Just unleash me. You know the sad thing about a graveyard? You go by a graveyard and there's graves of all types of people, young and old, long graves, short graves, big, fancy, and ornate, and little small markings. But a graveyard is full of potential. It's full of unfilled dreams, unmet goals, and aspirations. Time is of the essence if we're going to do what God has called us to do. God is saying, Scott Leonardson, just unleash me. Let me go. Let me be all that I can be in your life. Rick Solberg, Ben Thompson, John Jess Rivas, Bill Thorpe, I could go through this whole congregation as I look across here and every last one of us. God is saying, unleash me. Unleash me. God, I'm afraid. I'm afraid. I don't care. I don't care anymore. What if you lay hands on them and they don't recover? I do my part. I have no ability to heal anybody. Trust me, next time God tells me to lay hands on someone, I'm going to lay hands on. If it's in the middle of a service, if it's in the middle of while I'm preaching, I don't care. Because I don't want somebody to walk away when God says, I want to heal her. I'm afraid what someone may think. God has given you power as well as potential to be or become all that He desires you to be. If you've never repented of your sins, been baptized in the name of Jesus, or filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God desires to unleash Himself tonight in your life. I want to open up this altar. I say open it up. I'm not putting an open sign up here. I'm just meaning I want you to come down here. If you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized, you say, Pastor Roy, I don't know what you're talking about. I don't understand it all. You don't have to understand it all. I don't understand how electricity all works either. But when that light comes on, you know what? I know there's going to be light. I don't get it all. You don't have to understand it all. You just have to say, Lord, I want you to unleash yourself in my life. I have so much more potential.
I'm not living up to the level of potential that I feel I have. If you're sick in your body, you don't have to leave here tonight sick. You don't. God healed Sister Peggy right here in the front row of cancer. You know what? If God wouldn't have healed her, Matt, you'd be visiting your mother on Mother's Day at Rose Lawn because it was going to take her life. She had faith. She had faith. How much faith? Just a little bit. Just a little bit. God did the rest. If you're struggling, you say, I don't understand. I feel God wants to unleash something within me. I just don't know how to get it out. Don't leave here tonight. Don't leave here tonight. Come down and say, God, unleash me. Unleash me on my neighborhood. Unleash me on my job. Unleash me in my family. Unleash me. I want it out. I want it out. I want to get it out. Why can't we at our next Touch Twice clinic just walk through the hallways and lay hands on people? And they're healed. It won't happen if we don't allow the power of the Holy Ghost to become unleashed in us. Unleash me. I want to be unleashed. So many people, Lord, that are lost and that are dying. Give us boldness, God. Give us boldness, God. Unleash me, God. Unleash me.